Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Living with Emuna. Sorry, we are back in the old location that we have remained having grown out of. Baruch Hashem, we have a winter kollel. We have a wonderful winter kollel. A bunch of Bachram young men have come to Boker Tov to spend their break learning Torah. So they are in our other location. Not that they are better or supersede us. Get myself in trouble over here. But they are in that location for the whole week. So we're back in here just for today. Next week, we're back in our usual location. Emuna series is sponsored generously by Drs. Avi and Bella Morgan in memory of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit, Zichron Lavracha, and in memory of Bella's mother, Dr. Ellen Shanzer. Today's share in particular is sponsored by Shuli Babbitt in honor of Kevin Shuli Babbitt's 25th anniversary, and their daughter Rebecca's Aliyah to Israel, and with tremendous appreciation for our Emuna support group, which has helped approach life's up and downs. And by Carol Wald in memory of her brother, Reuven Rafal, Ben Binyamin. Carol, thank you very much. Thank you to the Babbitses and to the Morgans for your generosity. Okay, Ivtu Es Hashem B'Simcha. We are learning about Simcha. We're in the month of Shvat. Today is Yud Shvat, but we are already getting ready for Adar, for two Adars. And we spoke about last week the idea that a Jew has to tamid be B'Simcha. We have to always be B'Simcha. Just pull chairs over and move over. I'm sorry the inconvenience this week. Appreciate everybody's patience. A Jew, we said, Simcha is like a pilot light. The simcha cannot be turned off, it cannot be extinguished, it cannot be eliminated. If you're living a joyless life, then you are not living. If you're living a joyless life, then you are not living. So the question is, in the month of Adar, marben b'simcha. In the month of Adar, we increase, we promote, we elevate simcha. In the month of Av, we turn down the knob, we diminish the simcha. But you'll notice that we never turn it off. We don't turn off the simcha entirely and then turn it on entirely. Rather, we diminish it. We have a control knob, we lower it and we raise it because a Jew always has to be b'simcha. You have to be b'simcha. You have to be happy. You have to have a smile. No matter what's going on, you have to have a smile. Having a smile is contagious. I've shared with you many times, Dr. Nicholas Christakis, a great researcher who has done research. You know that if a person in this room were to yawn, no need to try this experiment, for the record. I hope that the 8:45 a.m. share with coffee is one slot where people are not yet yawning. So, if one person in this room were to yawn, it sets off a contagious string of yawns. We all know that. We've been in a room where one person yawns. You don't see it anymore under a mask, for those who wear a mask. But a person yawns, and all of a sudden, it sets off a string of people yawning. If one person sneezes, then all of a sudden, people start sneezing. Today, they chase you out of a room. The first person sneezes before the chain reaction could even begin. So, he proved that the same is true with a smile. If a person smiles, then contagious reaction, other people begin to smile. That's why Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that a person's face is not your private property. You can't walk around. One of my children was going through certain issues and was very sad. And I kept saying, you know, I know you're going through it. I know you feel that way. Talk to me about it. Work it through. I'm not asking you to deny how you feel. But don't bring this misery. There's just a misery. Just pouring out. Just dripping out. And it affects the whole surrounding, the whole environment. He said, That's not my problem. This is how I feel. This is how I feel. This is what I'm going through. This is what I look like. Why do I have to change it for anybody else? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's answer is because your face is not private property. Your face is not a Rishus HaYachid. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter famously said, your face is a Rishus HaRabim. Your face is public property. Your face will impact the people around you. If you're smiling, other people are going to smile. And if you're fabbisin, a miserable, negative, critical, then everybody around you is just going to be brought down. It just sucks the life out of you. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that how you feel, you're entitled to feel and validate a person's feelings and work through those feelings. And those are really, really important. But how we express it, what we look like, what is the energy that we put out into the world? Tamid b'simcha. You have to be b'simcha. No matter what's going on. No matter what's going on. And life is not always easy. There are real consequential challenges, meaningful and difficult obstacles people face. And there are the significant narishkeit ones. But no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening, you got to be besimcha. You have to be besimcha. We have to be besimcha because it's contagious and it's going to impact the people around us. We are on page Kuf Mem Zayin. We're on B'yam Derechach Ravitchamar Morgenstern. And he's been walking us through Mahi Simcha. So just to catch you up, if you haven't been here yet, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam Shehakol Niyeh B'Dvaro. We have been talking about Simcha, and Rav Itcher Meyer, we have more source sheets up here, if anybody didn't get and wants to follow along inside. He said we have a chiv of Simcha, We have an obligation. It's not listed in Taryag. If you go through the 613 mitzvahs, you will not see one of the mitzvahs being counted being besimcha. It's among midos. Why are midos not part of mitzvos? If you open the Torah, you say chapter and verse. Tell me which pasuk tells me I have to be patient. Tell me which pasuk tells me I can't get angry. Tell me which pasuk tells me I have to. Doesn't appear in the Torah. Why doesn't it appear in the Torah? Says Reb Chaim Vital, because these midos are the foundation. They are the ground floor. They are the basement. They are the prerequisite. They are the precursor to mitzvos. First is to have good character, to have proper character. Then you build upon character with positive commandments, negative commandments, but it begins with the character that we have, begins with conditioning who we are. So that's why it doesn't appear, but mitzvah gedola lios besimcha tamid is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. There are references. Ambassador Friedman actually spoke about this last night. Happiness. Where's the evidence from the Torah, from the Bible, that the Declaration of Independence, the right to pursue happiness, where does it come from? The tochacha, the harsh rebuke comes, God says, why? Because why didn't you serve me with happiness? Do it with joy. Do it with enthusiasm. So you'll say, but listen, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can't hold me accountable for how I felt. Put a check mark. I heard the shofar, I heard the Megillah, I put on the tefillin, I lit the candles, I check, 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 I did the mitzvos. You're going to also hold me accountable for how I feel? And you know what Hashem's answer is? Yes. You know why? Because the husband who tells the wife, I brought you the flowers, I gave you the card, I took out the garbage, you're going to also make me smile and be nice to you and be happy and be joyful while I do it? What would the answer be?
Yeah.
Yes. It's nice that you're doing those actions, but the actions absent the purpose, the meaning, the joy, the attitude, the actions are empty, they're hollow. So Hashem says the actions are lovely, they're important. By the way, they're for us, not for Him. But He also wants to do them with a joy, with a simcha, with a happiness. So, what is the source of simcha? I'm just catching up so far. Hagdaras mahusa shel simcha argasha shleima, said Rav Itcher Meir. The definition of simcha, the capacity to feel simcha, comes from shleimus. When you're whole. When are you besimcha? When do you have a skip in your step? When are you happy? When you feel whole. When you feel whole. When everything's right, when everything's working out, when a great program worked out well, and you weren't assassinated on stage, you're happy. You're happy. We have a low threshold now. We have a low bar for a successful program. It's nothing like getting up in the welcome and greetings and trying to scan a room as you're gripping the shtender, trying to figure out who's it going to be? Who is it? So you're besimcha. When it's over and you exhale and you skip home and you say, I'm shalem, I'm whole, literally and figuratively. But that's a small example. You're besimcha. You're happy. So when is that? When you're shalem, when you feel whole, when everything's right, when everything's come together, when everything works. Here's the problem, says Rav Itcher Meir. Whoever feels that way? How could one feel that way? And if you feel that way, you feel that way for a moment. So you skip home, and by the time you walk through the door, this is a hypothetical, one is greeted by challenges, questions, issues, things we've got to deal with. There goes the shlemus. So you're whole for a millisecond, you're whole for a minute and a half, you were whole because you heard a piece of good news, you experienced a simcha, or something happened that made you feel good and right and healthy and strong, and then all of a sudden, the next thing comes. There's always the next thing. It's not if, it's when, and what. But there's always the next thing. So how do you feel shalem? So that's what Rav Itcher Meir set us up with, that's what we've been learning, that's what we're up to. That if the definition of simcha is feeling shalem, is feeling whole and complete, and a person can never feel whole or complete in this world because there's always the next shoe that's going to drop. And it could be, God forbid, something significant, or it could be something insignificant. It could be a kid has a stomach virus. It could be a fender bender. It could be you got delayed in traffic and you missed something that was important. It could be consequential or inconsequential. But there's always that next thing that there's something missing. Something missing. It could be I couldn't sleep last night. So today I'm groggy and I'm exhausted. So I'm not shalim. I'm not whole. I'm not strong. I'm not healthy. Because there's something missing. I.e. several hours of sleep. So how can you be besimcha if you're not shalim? And if we're never shalim, are we never besimcha? So that's what Rav Itcher Meir says. And this is his yisod, this is the point. The answer is there's only one way to be besimcha. There's only one way to always be happy no matter what's going on around you. If you know you'll never be complete and you walk into every situation understanding that life will never be perfect, that's part of the design of the world in which we live, this world in which we operate. Then you say, so how can I be besimcha? The answer is by attaching ourselves and connecting and holding on to the one and only thing that is whole and complete, and that is Hashem. Hashem is infinite, omnipotent, He's omniscient, He's perfect. He's the source of all power. He is everything. And when I attach myself and I connect myself and when I submit and when I surrender to Him and when I say, Hashem, You're in charge, You're in control. I do all my initiative, I make all my effort, I do everything that I can, and then I, in the words I learned from those in recovery, I love these words, I let go and I let God. Let go and I let God. That's the world of Emunah. We on our own, we ourselves can never be shalem. We're not in charge. We're not in control. We can never be whole. We can never anticipate, predict, micromanage, or control everything or everyone in our lives, even though some people try and try hard. But when the moment we make that concession, the moment we make that admission, you know how much better our life gets? The moment you pause and you stop and you say, I'm just not in charge. I'm just not in control. I'm going to do my best. I've done my best. I'm trying to think through everything that needs to get done. And then Hashem, take it away. Take it from here. Take it from here. You're in charge. You're in control now. The moment we make that admission, the moment we make that concession, the moment we let go, our life becomes so much better. Our blood pressure goes down. And our heart condition improves. And our pulse slows down. And tranquility and serenity and our relationships, our benachas, we have a menuchas and nefesh, we have a peace of mind. That's it. Grab onto the one whole thing there is and He completes us. He completes us. Every day we wake up modani, what we're saying to Hashem is, you complete me. You complete me. When Hashem says, you had me at modani. You complete me. Hashem, you complete me. That's it. I'm empty, I'm hollow. Some people have a tiny little openness, a tiny little hole, because everything is really right in their life. I'll tell you the irony, and I see this from my perspective as someone in Rabbanus, and it's hard not to comment on, but it's not appropriate to comment, but often it's the people who have the least missing who feel the greatest victims, and it's the people who have almost nothing, almost everything's missing, who walk around besimcha, saying, do you see what I have? I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the little that I have. Often, it's ironic and it's unfortunate that it's that way. We should see what we have, but when there's that little bit missing, Hashem, you complete me. Whatever's missing, whatever I wish I had, whatever I don't have, whatever I want, whatever I'm longing, whatever pain I'm in, whatever hole in my heart. And again, this is not the answer. People need therapy and counseling and they need proper professional help. But this addiction, this spike, this enormous generational catastrophe right now, substance addiction, drug addiction. I'm reading a book called Dopamine something or other. This world that we're living, it's because people have that hole in their heart. They can't name it. They don't talk about this. They don't give it these words. Kids on college campus, adults, people who have money and fame and think they have it all, and yet there's so much missing. There's such a gaping hole in their heart. And they don't know what to fill it with, and they're desperate to fill that hole. So they think they'll fill it with drugs or alcohol or some other form of an addiction. Lose myself in gambling. People lose themselves online and inappropriate acting out. But you fill it, the only thing that you can fill it with, which is real and genuine and authentic and lasting, is Hashem. That's why one of the critical steps is submitting to a higher power. This is our truth, but others have caught on. And that's why one of the critical steps is you have to submit to a higher power. Because Hashem, I'm only whole. You complete me. I can't do this without you. I can't face whatever instinct. I can't face the distraction, the temptation. I can't face the addictive behavior without you. Okay, let's keep going. We're on the left-hand column, page Kuf Mem Zayin. Zemevi rogeh atzum. This brings an incredible calm. There is a direct correlation, there is a reverse association between emuna and calmness. The more emuna, the more tranquil, the more calm you are. If you've ever been in the presence of a great person, you'll see they're calm. Great people are not frazzled and running and fragmented and divided, and they're calm. You're all there is in their world. In that moment that they're talking to you, that's all there is. When I went to see Rav Itcher Meyer a month ago, I went to see him after davening, and he was sitting in his chair, and he was slouched like the end of his chair, and he was talking so calmly. And I asked his gabbai afterwards, I'd never met him. So I asked him, you know, he was like literally falling off his chair. At some point I was going to like help him back up, scooch him back up on the chair. He was sitting on the edge of his chair, falling off the chair. So I know that his health has been compromised and we've been davening for him. So I thought maybe, you know, he's weak. He's a tzaddik. He wouldn't tell anyone. We wouldn't know. Maybe he fasts all day. I don't know. The Gabbai just smiled at me. But I checked with someone who introduced me to the world of Rav Itcher Meir, Joey Rosenfeld, who told me, no, there's an inyan for the tzaddik that when you're b'menuchas ha-nefesh, when you're ragua, when you're so calm, your posture reflects your perspective, your attitude, that you're just totally relaxed and at peace and you let go. There was a phase in my life, I don't do it anymore, that I did yoga. Not that I wouldn't do it anymore, it was great. I probably should start doing it again. My favorite part was the end, where you lie there and they told you to relax muscles you never had and you're supposed to imagine your ice melting into water. I usually was snoring about 30 seconds into that. I would always, could we just skip to that part where you lie on the floor and relax every muscle and fall into a deep sleep? So that, again, apparently that's necessary for the exercise to be valuable because it moves the energy around your body. I had a good schluff. I have no idea what it meant. But I think there's an inyan that what they're trying to communicate is you've got to relax. There's a form of exercise where you stress the muscles, and there's a form of an exercise where you relax the body, relax every muscle. So, lahavdil, that's the posture that he was on the end of the chair, just relaxed. How could you be so relaxed? Do you know what's going on in the world? How could you be so relaxed? Do you know what's on your plate? How could you be so relaxed? Have you looked at your schedule and your to-do list? How could you be so relaxed? Klal Yisrael on your shoulders? How could you be so relaxed? Look at the kfitloch on the table, all the people and their problems. Because the tzaddik, the righteous person, the person who's living with emunah, is in a constant and consistent state of relaxation. And the people who are frazzled and anxious and worried and yelling and on the edge and you know that, like the nervous people, like they're nervous, they wake up nervous. Wake up nervous, they go to sleep nervous, and they're nervous the whole day. What are you nervous about? I don't know yet, but I'm sure there'll be something worth being nervous about. I don't know yet. I woke up, I'm nervous. Why? I don't know. I'll find out. Or the opposite. I wake up and I'm calm. How could you be so calm? Because I'm calm. No matter what happens, I'm going to be calm. I'm going to be calm. So that's what Rav Itcher Meir says. When you live with emunah, you're calm. Emunah makes you calm. Ka'idei emunah v'abitachon shakoshim yizborach usul atov v'gemura shu yizborach yochol lahashlel ases hakol ha'adam yochol lesmoach be'emes. When you live with this emuna bitachon, when you live not with this leap of faith, but you live with a knowledge. Rav Itcher Meir was not sitting there with some leap of faith. He didn't go to some Yom Yon on Hashem and he's like, well, I've studied five pieces of evidence for Hashem's existence and I am ready to take that leap of faith. I am ready to leap. He's sitting there, he's like, what are you talking about? The sun rises in the sky, you're sitting in front of me, this is a table, there's Hashem, that's it. In fact, I know about him more than I believe there's a table in front of me right now. The tzaddik is that Hashem is, he's real to me. He is everything. I'm in his matrix. I'm just a dot in his matrix. He is real. And he's running it. He's in control. So that's it. Shri Yis Baruch Yochel HaShem Vasei Sakol. Kosh Baruch Hu can complete and he can fill and he can finish and he can solve everything. Adam Yochel Esmoch Be'emes. So now like relax. Adam Yochel Esmoch Be'emes. You ever have the experience? You're traveling. One person's very anxious. We're not going to be packed. We're not going to get in the car. We're not going to leave. You say, go have a cup of coffee. What time are we leaving? The suitcases will be packed. They will be in the car by the time we need to leave. So now you just let go. I got it. Don't worry about anything. You have nothing to worry about. Let go, relax, go enjoy a cup of coffee. We'll be in the car at this time. So the other person, if they trust the individual who told them that, or maybe they've told them that 10 times and haven't made good on it yet, so they have a reason not to trust them. But if they trust the person who told them that, okay, you know what? Whatever, fine. You tell me you've got it, you've got it. You've got it. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I got it. Just, you go relax. You go relax. I got it. That's exactly. Shu Yis Baruch Yochol LaHashlam LaSeis HaKol. Hashem says, I've got it. Ha'adam Yochol LaSmoach Be'emes. So you just go relax. You just go be happy. You just go be calm. You just go be peaceful and a peace of mind because I got it. Zuha derech hayachid lagil simcha mitzvah zesmach metzias Hashem Yisbarach uvekirva elav. This is the one and only path to genuine happiness. He spoke last night, Ambassador Friedman, about the Declaration of Independence, which entitles us. He spoke all about it. It was a brilliant speech. Please, God, we'll have it up online today. He was brilliantly trying to show that the founding fathers of this country, the principles of the Declaration, all came from the Torah. Directly from the Torah, and in fact, they write that in the Declaration, that these were given by God. These are rights that are endowed upon us by God. And one of them is happiness. But what does the declaration say about happiness? Do you have the right to be happy? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say you have the right to be happy. What does it say you have the right to? Why do you have to pursue something? Why do you have to chase something? If something's sitting on the table, do I have to run after the cup of coffee? No, why not? Because it's not running away from me. It's sitting right here. I just take it, and I drink it, and I have it. You have to pursue something that's elusive. You pursue something that's running away from you. You pursue something that's hard to grasp. But for us, that's not true. Happiness is not running away. You're right, happiness is running away. If happiness is Town Center Mall, if happiness is your bank account, if happiness is everybody behaving the way you want them to, so happiness is elusive. But if happiness is the mindfulness to realize, you know what? I started to feel angst. I started to feel anxious. Deep breath. Hashem, you're in charge. You're in control. You know the best way to remind yourself of that? Is talk to Him. Let's just talk to Him. Okay, Hashem, you got this? I just want to confirm. You got this? I don't need to wear a bulletproof. You got this? Just want to confirm with you. We're good? I can let go and relax and just focus and enjoy? You got this? Right? And then there's nothing wrong with that. Hashem will tolerate you're asking Him as many times as you want. I have much less patience. But Hashem will tolerate as many times as you want. Hashem, just want to, you got this, right? We're good? I should relax? I'm calm? I should go sit in the car and wait? You got this? Hashem says, yeah, every time I got it. Relax. That is the only path. It's not a path. It's not one of the paths. It's not a suggestion. It's the derech hayechida lahagil l'simcha amitis. It's the only way to be really besimcha. To be besimcha, to be ragua, to be calm, to be serene, to be tranquil, to have a menuchas hanefesh. Yesterday in the Parsha class, we learned one of the insights of Miriam Anaviyah, the Nashim Tzidkanios in Mitzrayim, who took the tambourines, they took the musical instruments with them and out. I'm not going to repeat the whole thing, but I spoke about, if I were packing in Mitzrayim, after 210 years of slavery, we're finally getting out of there, and I say to Miriam, first of all, you have too many shoes, but second of all, tambourine? Tambourine? What are you doing? We got to get out of here. Leave it. What are you doing? Tambourine? Where do you think you're going? We are running for our lives. We're running for our lives. We're fleeing oppression. We're finally being liberated from the slave labor camp, and we're running for our lives. And you're packing tambourines and flutes? And Miriam says, relax. I got this. And she was right. She says to him, you know, there's going to come a time that God's going to open the way for us. You feel like it's blocked. You feel like you're stuck. You feel like there's impediment and obstacle in front of you, and Hashem's going to open up a path. And when we get to the other side of that path, you're going to want to sing and dance. But guess what, buddy? You're not going to have any music. But I and the women, we're going to have my tambourine. So most of the insight is the Nashim Tzidkanios, ooh, they had such faith. They were able to anticipate. They were Ro'es HaNolad. They didn't panic, but they believed. But the Pshat we quoted yesterday from the Sitcha Elyon says, that's not the insight. The insight is everybody else was frazzled and packing, and did you get this, and are we this, and did you pack enough food, and did you... And Miriam's just calm. She's Menuchas HaNefesh. She serenely and calmly says, ooh, let's bring instruments. It's going to be amazing. Hashem's going to open up a way for us. And we're going to want to sing and dance about it. I have an idea. Let's bring instruments. That sense, that attitude, that presence of mind only can come when you are living in the moment. It can only come when you're calm and when you're serene. It can only come when you believe. We're in the footnote. Reish Lamites. U'lesimcha b'Hashem Yisbarach. Efshel likanes b'har be'ofan atzarek l'chol pam likanes l'simcha l'fi inyan. You can enter the simcha in many different ways. Aleph. L'smoach al shezachinu l'mala gdol b'yosha sheyesh. L'yos bonav ahuva v'shal Hashem Yisbarach. L'yos chelek eloka mima'al. So when we let go and let God, when we submit and surrender, when we understand that Hashem's packing our bags, He's got it, let go, then we're besimcha. And that simcha can come from several different ways. One, he says, is the simcha that I'm His son. The simcha that we have the merit to have a father who says, I got it. And He's trustworthy and He's reliable and He comes through every time. So the simcha comes not because of the particular thing that we need or want. The simcha comes just because of the relationship that we have in that moment. Number two, Beis, u'v'chwal ze simcha al etzem kach, she'yesh lanu abba gadol kazeh, echad yachad miyuchad she'en klum chutz mimenu. Or wow. So part of it can be, I'm His son, and I have nothing to worry about, so I'm besimcha. Or the second possibility is, wow, He's my father. Do you know who my father is? Do you understand who my father is? People love to quote their yichus. They love to reference their yichus. They love to identify based on their yichus. Do you know who my father is? Yeah, your father's pretty good. But do you, my father created the whole world. And he's in charge of the whole world, and he controls the whole world. And he was, and he is, and he will be. How do you like that? That's my father. So you can't help but feel a sense of simcha when you say that. Do you know who I am? Do you know where I come from? Do you know who my father is? With one phone call to my father, do you know? My father's in charge, he's in control of the entire world. Who doesn't feel besimcha when you say, that's my father? Where the third sense of simcha is, wow, I have Torah and mitzvahs. I live a life on another plane than everybody else. 613, Tariag mitzvahs gives me the opportunity. As we say, Baruch Elokeinu shebarano uchvodo. Baruch Elokeinu. We bless Hashem, we are blessed by Hashem. Shebarano lechvodo. He's created us to honor Him. V'chaye olam nata b'silcheinu. V'chaye olam. If you're looking for words to meditate on, to lose yourself on, first of all, listen to Eitan Katz's rendition of the song. Just go on YouTube. Baruch Hu Elokeinu. V'chaye olam nata b'silcheinu. Hashem planted in us chaye olam. There are people who live only in this world, only for the here and now. So you live in fear, because the here and now. But He gave us chaye olam. He gave us contact and access and a window into immortality. To live forever. To live forever. When you know that you will live forever, it's nata b'solcheinu. He planted that inside us. There's a seed, there's a potential, there's a pintle of yid, there's a spark. There's the absolute knowledge inside us that it's not just about the here and now. That it's not just about what we see. That it's not just about this world. That there is so much more. That there is an immortality and there is an eternity. That chaye olam, nata b'solcheinu, we put it in us. So the people who think that this world is all there is, that this world is all there is. You know, I was listening, I was driving recently, a long drive, and I was listening to a podcaster who has a lot of wisdom and productivity that I enjoy. I'm not going to say his name for the following reason when I tell you this thought that I had. And his whole life really is about efficiency and productivity and being the best version of him. And the best version of him is generous and kind and magnanimous and trying to improve the world. And he's at a little bit of a further age, and he's not married, although he references his girlfriend, and he doesn't have children, and he talks about he's not sure he ever wants to have children. And it's by choice. I'm not talking about somebody who's not married or doesn't have children who wants it, but he's talking about by choice. And I so desperately want to ask him. I have no way to get in touch with him. But I want to ask him, all that efficiency and all that productivity and all that transforming the world around you and all the goodness you want to do, like, you don't want children to pass that on to hand that to transmit to? Do you believe in a future? I want to ask him, do you believe in a world to come? Because if all there is the here and now, and all there is what we see in front of us, and there is nothing more, and there is nowhere that we go. So I'm not suggesting, therefore, we should live a life of carpe diem, just, you know, live life and be happy, and you could still be kind and generous and moral. But, like, what's it really all about? So there are people who nebuch, they can't see past this world. And there are other people who, while they're in this world, they're already living in the chaye olam. They already understand that this world, everyone knows the story of the Chavetz Chaim, who lived in a very, very modest residence. And when he was once visited, he was asked, how do you live in such humble, modest residence? If you've been to the home of, if you went to the Stipler, you went to go to Reb Chaim, if you go to Reb Steinman, if you go to the great people, you'll see their homes. That, you know, they have people who would give them millions of dollars. You know, extreme gadol home makeover. In a heartbeat, they could live in a palace, in a heartbeat. And they live in what looks like a homeless shelter. I mean, it's less than a homeless shelter. It's unbelievable the way they live. So the famous story of the Chavetz Chaim, someone asked him, well, Rebbe, why do you live like this? And he said, tell me, when you go to a hotel, do you bring your chandelier and your fine china? Do you set up the room with your, you know, Egyptian cotton sheets? And do you redecorate? He says, no. He says, why not? I'm just passing through there. I'm just there for a night. I'm just there for a few days. So Chavetz Chaim says, exactly. Exactly. I'm just passing through here. I'm just here for a few days. I'm going to set up this house. I'm going to invest in things and property. Now again, there's nothing wrong with having a beautiful home. There's nothing wrong with appreciating it being finely decorated or well organized. There's nothing wrong with enjoying a beautiful home. But the mentality and the attitude, there are people, the Chavetz Chaim was living chaye olam. He was living there even while he was here. He was living there, even while he was down here. And so, Chaye Olam Nata B'Solcheinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu has given Chaye Olam. We could be operating and living in the here and now. We need sleep, we need to eat, we need to wear clothing, we need to earn a living. We're living here in this physical world, but really we're living in the spiritual world. Really we're invested in that world to come. Really we already understand and we are achieving immortality even while we're here. Chai Olam. Who wouldn't be besimcha when you hear that, when you think that, when you feel that? Who wouldn't be besimcha? Everyone here should be blessed to have children, healthy children and healthy grandchildren. But a person, Chaye Olam Nata Bisochenu, if you merit to have children, if you merit to start to have grandchildren, that you believe are on the trajectory of continuing Torah and mitzvos and being proud Jews and stand, that's not immortality even while you're in this world. You don't say, Hashem, I'd like to be here a few more years, but I'm good to go. I've done my job. I've been a link in that chain. I took the baton from the people who came before and I've handed it to the people who come afterwards, and our story is going to continue and we are repairing and transforming this world, and you've given me a taste of the world to come even in this world. Chai olam nata b'socheinu. That we have that. We're living there even while we're here. Shamayim even while we're here on the aretz. That we're living that. That we're living that. We spoke about that in Siddur Snippets last week. Kimei Hashamayim al ha'aretz. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Manir Buyamechem, we live a long life on the land you gave us, Kimei Hashamayim al ha'aretz. And one of the interpretations that we gave was the pasuk before, V'limadatam osam es b'neichem, that when we successfully teach our children Torah, if we have children who are living and learning Torah, Kimei Hashamayim al ha'aretz, then we are living as if we are already in Shamayim, even here on the aretz. If we successfully transmit and invest, and we see the continuity coming, Kimei Hashamayim al ha'aretz. We are already experiencing Shamayim even while we're here on earth. Who wouldn't be besimcha? What a source of... yeah, that's it. There it is, the continuity right there. The simcha. What a simcha. Baruch Hashem. It's the greatest sound you could ever hear inside a shul. There were survivors while other people were shooing the kids out. If a kid cried and davening or made a noise, who said that's the greatest sound a shul's ever heard. A million children murdered in the Holocaust. Baruch Hashem, Jewish babies crying. That's the future. All right, you could try to quiet them now, but it's... You made the point. We made the point. I'm joking. But it's the most beautiful, sound. Not in the middle of the night, but it's the most beautiful. It's the most beautiful sound there is. Because that's Chaye Olam. Chaye Olam Nata B'Sochenu. He gave us that glimpse, that taste. He gave us that world to come. Even here, just a couple more minutes. Bear with me. Turn the page. Uvachol pam shayitzahara on kuf mem ches. Uvachol pam shayitzahara ba im machshavas atzavos. Tzarech liyikanes miyad lamuna v'simcha. Every one of us get a knock on the door of feelings of sadness. We have feelings of sadness. And there are all kinds of reasons of feeling of sadness. Sometimes we're sad because our chaye olam is leaving. The grandchildren are going back. Or we're leaving them. Sometimes we're sad because chas v'shalom, a person got a diagnosis. Chalila. A person is sad because they go through a loss and grief. A person is sad because they go through pain and anguish. A person is sad because they're struggling to get through a difficult time. There are all kinds of reasons that sadness comes. Machshavos, thoughts of sadness. And when they come and when they knock on our door, we have to try to tell them you're not allowed in. You're not welcome. Lamuna ulasimcha, to enter a place of faith and of joy. V'yeshan la'atzmo, Hashem yizbarach iti kol hazman. You say, Hashem, you complete me. Hashem, you complete me. Ein od milvado. Ein od milvado. We're going to expand. We were supposed to make bumper stickers. I got to check on our coffee mugs. They were ordered. I don't know what's happening. But we, you know, the bumper stickers, the Ein od milvado, the famous Nefesh HaChaim we quoted, the Brisker Rav. Ein od milvado. The Nefesh HaChaim has a tradition of Chaim Voloshner, that a Jew in any circumstance, you're stuck in any situation, you just turn and you repeat the mantra, Ein od milvado. There's nothing but you, Hashem. Ein od milvado. Ein od milvado. I've told you the story of one of my children who didn't love roller coasters, so we would online wait and sing Ein od milvado, Ein od milvado. So we have a continuation now of it. Ein od milvado, you complete me. Ein od milvado, you complete me. We can expand our mantra. There's nothing but you, and you complete me. Whatever's missing, whatever anxious I am, whatever sad I am, I just remind myself, you complete me. Now, again, I want to be very careful. I don't know if we have any clinical therapists here who would say that's a very unhealthy thing. Sometimes you have to lean into the pain. Sometimes you have to experience the pain. Sometimes you have to validate and honor the pain. And then you can heal from the pain. So that's true. I don't think Ravitcher Meyer is saying you should be in denial of pain. I don't think he's telling anybody. The halacha recognizes pain. Halacha recognizes pain. I told you this a few months ago when we read a piece by Rav Reuven Leuchter, where he quoted a story of a shiva call he paid with Rav Volbe. You remember that? He paid a shiva call to a great Rosh Hashiva. And the Rosh Hashiva was besimcha. It's from Hashem. He took my wife, my loved one, and everything's for a reason. He's besimcha. And Rav Volba turned to Rav Leuchter afterwards and said, he's going to crash and burn. He's going to crash and burn. He misunderstands emunah. Emunah doesn't mean that when you lose a loved one, you sit there, you're in a velus, you tear your garment, you're sitting low to the floor, you're not wearing shoes, you haven't showered, and you're supposed to have a smile and be besimcha. You're supposed to cry your eyes out. You're supposed to be grieving. You're supposed to be in pain for those moments. That's not emunah. Remember, he spoke about the winds and the anchor, what emunah is, and the ocean. If you don't remember, I could just give the same shiur every single week. Just prepare and say this. I pretty much do say the same thing every single week, so it's a miracle to me that you come back. I sit here, I look out, I just say the same thing every week. Every week. It's really amazing. It's a reflection both of our collective forgetfulness, but I think it's also a function of how much we need to hear it. How much I need to say it. I need to hear it. I need to say it. It's just a reminder. It's a reminder. We need it. We need the reinforcement and we need the reminder. So Rav Vitcher Meyer is not suggesting that when you experience grief or pain that you don't honor it or validate it or experience it. But what do you do then? Do you wallow in it? Do you get stuck in it? Are you paralyzed and debilitated by it? Even the halacha says that there are 7 days called Shiva, and then there's a shloshim. You begin to come out of it. You get up out of the chair and you take off the garment that you tore and you begin to re-enter life. And then from shloshim, the loss of a parent, you continue with the Yud Beis Chodesh. You continue for it. There are, the halacha guides us and the halacha is our companion to take us out of that grief, because we have to get back to be besimcha, because that's the default that a person needs to be, is happy and joyous and smiling. So his point is not that never feel pain. You know, you don't stub your toe or get a splinter and you're, yay, I'm so happy. Ouch, that hurts. A person can be in pain. But a person has to then remember the method, the way that we come out of it is Hashem Yisbarach Iti Kol Hazman. Hashem, you're with me all the time. V'im yesh li es Hashem Yisbarach, yesh li hakol. If I have you, I have everything. V'lo chas li davar, I'm not missing anything. Hakol, v'hakol talu bo. Because He is everything, the source of everything, and He is in charge of everything, in control of everything. So if I don't have Him, I don't have anything. And if I have Him, I have everything. So if I live a life that's absent God, if I live a life that's absent immortality and the future and the world to come, if I live a life that doesn't submit and surrender to Him, then I might have a lot of things and I might have a lot of experiences, but I really have nothing. And if I live a life of when I have Him, I talk to Him and I welcome Him and I lean on Him and I even protest to Him and I'm grateful to Him. If I live a life where I feel Him, I have everything. Let's just finish this last sentence. U'memela muvan. And now we can understand. Shasimcha ena rak tosefes maila elihi mora kama yesh la adam emuna. So simcha is not just like an extra nice thing. Oh yeah, no, they're a wonderful person. Oh, by the way, about them, one of their great qualities is that they're happy. Simcha is not like do all the tariq mitzvos. By the way, if you find the strength, also try to be happy. Simcha is not an extra thing. Simcha is not a nice thing. Simcha is not a cherry on top. Simcha is everything. It is the foundation. It is the core. It is the canvas that we paint our painting on. It is the barometer and the metric of our emuna. If you want to know how much emuna you have, check how much besimcha you are. The person who's sad and fabisana and miserable and complaining and negative, I don't care how much they talk about believing in God, how much they subscribe to emuna WhatsApp groups or emuna emails, or how much they read emuna books. But if you walk around negative and angry and worried and miserable and sad, you don't really have a lot of faith. Simcha is the metric, it is the thermometer, it is the barometer to determine how much emunah we have. U'mochicha kama adam amen b'yichud Hashem Yisbarach v'chai oso v'ito, and that we live Him and with Him. V'chai oso, we're living Him, living emunah, and we're living with Him. Sha'asu sameach b'Hashem Yisbarach, because then you're going to be thrilled, you're going to be happy, you're going to have a skip in your step. V'gam merutza mikol mashakore ito. And you're going to love whatever Hashem does because it's for a reason. It's by design. It comes from above. It's what He wants for us. So this is the secret. This is the ingredient. We're going to continue to unpack this. Rav Vitcher Meyer has so many messages. But this is our homework. This is our homework. To be besimcha, to smile. It's contagious. Your face is a reshus harabim. Your face is a reshus harabim. Be besimcha. I want you to do this experiment. Even if you're around people who are regularly negative, smile and be over the top besimcha around them. And see if it doesn't, if they don't kill you, see if it doesn't lift their spirits. All right, Shkoyach, tonight, 9 p.m., we go behind the bima with Bob Diener, the founder of Hotels.com, GetARoom.com, and a great Jewish philanthropist and leader, 9 o'clock tonight. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, stay holy. Ein od milvado, Hashem, you complete me.